people, middle class people, we would say, the bourgeois merchants who wanted to ape aristocratic lifestyles, who wanted to have the chateau, wanted to have some sort of land in the country to go along with their wealth. Although it's quite an interesting and ironic turn of events in this sense, that as bourgeois wealth increased, and there's a growing sense of disdain for the parasitic nature of aristocracy on the one hand within the bourgeoisie, on the other hand, one finds that over and over again, these great merchant families, as soon as they acquired a fortune, wanted to have a chateau in the countryside, wanted to, in fact, adopt the very social mores, social style of the aristocracy, which in political terms they condemned. In order to maintain their economic base, aristocrats increasingly sought to reaffirm old feudal dues and obligations that had fallen into disuse. That is to say, they hired lawyers to go back into the manor house and to search out ancient feudal contracts to see whether or not it might be possible to revive them in order to tap their own peasants for additional revenue. This, needless to say, angered the peasants, and it didn't solve the economic problems of aristocracy either. Aristocrats also continued to demand a monopoly of appointments in the army and in the civil service. There were a great deal of complaints as the century progressed about bourgeois advancement, about the social ascendance of the wealthy bourgeoisie. And, of course, nobles continued to insist on continued exemption from taxation and were increasingly angered by royal attempts to raise or to revise the tax code. Here one sees in various publications and pamphlets and so on with aristocratic origins, citations of Montesquieu on the separation of powers, arguing that the only thing that stood between France and despotism was aristocracy, that if the privileges of aristocracy were whittled away, then there would be despotism on the part of the crown. Therefore, it was necessary to maintain, for the liberty of all, the privileges of aristocracy as an anchor, as a bulwark against the abuse of power by the monarch. These arguments were consistently supported by the parlements, who acted to frustrate any attempt at revision of the tax code. And as the century progressed as well, one heard more and more calls for a convening of the Estates General, a national legislative assembly for all of France, and the reestablishment of the dualistic state, that is, a state in which power was divided between monarchy and the representation of the people, meaning aristocracy, as far as they were concerned. This complex of attitudes and desires has generally been referred to as the feudal reaction of the late 18th century, and became more and more salient as the years passed down to that climactic year of 1789. Indeed, by 1789, the Bourbon monarchy in France had managed to alienate the traditional political elite of the nation. The one social group that it should have been able to count on as the bulwark of the established order found itself increasingly pitted against monarchy, so that in a crisis situation, the monarchy could not rely on its own aristocracy. The lower nobility in France also was dissatisfied as the decades proceeded. The sale of offices, which Louis XIV had certainly begun, had been used to such a degree that the value of ennoblement was greatly diluted. So there was resentment about that. There was also the closing off and calls for the end of the sale. The venality of offices was condemned, a call for the closing of the sale of offices. This had actually been done, but too late. And what this did, of course, was to prevent one other avenue of upward mobility. So there didn't seem to be any way for the monarchy to find a suitable and acceptable means of raising revenue.